Need a reason to smile? Comfort Dental has you covered with new patient exams, including x-rays, for just $19. That's right, only $19 to get started on a healthier, brighter smile. With convenient locations, flexible hours, including evenings and Saturdays, and a team that truly cares, Comfort Dental makes dental care easy and affordable. No gimmicks, no stress, just quality care when you need it. Get comfortable with Comfort Dental. Call or visit ComfortDental.com today.
Okay, so I've tried to figure out what exactly had been going on with my situation since its most recent occurrence, and it ended up going nowhere. I found stories in folklore that were kinda similar, but not exactly enough for me to figure out what I encountered was. Given my failed search for answers, I'm hoping I could get something from talking about what happened. Whether be it some new lead for me to follow, or some kind of folklore piece I missed, or even a definitive answer from whoever may read this. My first experience is rather fuzzy for me, being that it happened to me when I was 5 years old. I'm part of a hunting family, and even at that age, I would be taken along on hunts whether I wanted to or not. During one hunt, during I think fall or winter, it was either one of those because I remember a lot of snow at the time. We ended up going in the woods somewhere in Jasper here in Alberta. I don't remember what we were hunting, not that it mattered. It was me, my dad, and a hunting friend of his. The three of us were pretty deep in the woods, and I remember our camp was set up in a wall tent. I remember it being pretty spacey in there. The walls were made out of some kind of thick canvas or some other white textile, and there was no light in there. Even the small furnace in the tent did not provide much light in the tent except for the dim shine of orange. During the night of the second day, we were getting ready to head to bed on some uncomfortable cots. I remember when it was dark out, my dad and his friend were sleeping. I wasn't because I was bored and uncomfortable at the time. Like really bored since I was a kid that was taken on a hunt I didn't want to be on. I couldn't sleep, so I ended up taking a flashlight with me to explore the forest around the tent because why not? It was just meant to be for a little bit, and in my mind, I had nothing to fear. I had spent plenty of time in the woods at this point, so I believed there was little to no danger to encounter, and there were guns in the tent, so I'd be safe. The only thing of note I could remember from my exploration besides the darkness of the forest and freezing cold was this one large animal I caught a glimpse of. I don't remember much about it, just that I shined my light into the trees for a few seconds before there was movement or something moving away. Shortly after, I went back to the tent and got into my cot and head to sleep. I remember waking up to my dad's friend stoking up the furnace or adding a log to it or something. He then left the tent momentarily with the flashlight, presumably to take a piss. I tried to go back to sleep, but that was interrupted by my dad's friend yelling. My dad immediately woke up and grabbed his rifle that was next to him before leaving the tent. I was scared and stayed frozen in my cot, unsure about what to do. I don't know how much time passed before there were gunshots and I think yelling. My dad ran back, his friend being absent from whatever was going on. After zipping on the entrance, he ordered me to stay with him in the middle of the tent. Given the distance between us and the walls of the tent, if whatever was out there would rip open the walls, my dad would have time to react. I'm not sure how much time passed with us just sitting in the middle of the tent, but eventually, the sound of quick footsteps began circling the tent. I think I may have closed my eyes and covered my ears in anticipation of my dad shooting or something else happening. After circling the tent a few times, I remember hearing the sound of something dragging across the tent's fabric, which made my dad shoot in that general direction. Whatever it was ran off, and the two of us remained in the same spot for the rest of the night, only moving whenever my dad had to add more logs to the furnace. When the day broke, we hurriedly packed up our bags before my dad gave me his friend's rifle and we left. I was worried about what had happened to his friend since he never came back to the tent, and we just left without him on our long hike back to my dad's truck. After that point, I just remember my dad driving us home as he talked to, I think was the police, on his flip phone.
I talked with my dad about that night only a couple of times after that, and from what he had told me, he never saw his friend when he went looking for him after he yelled. He looked around and came across some tall, humanoid figure standing behind some pine trees, possibly hiding from him. He couldn't see any details, just the silhouette of something inhumanly tall. He shot at it before coming back to the tent. When I asked him about the dragging along the tent, he said that he just saw what seemed to be the indent of a finger touching it from the other side, as if trying to identify the material of the walls. After we left, he told me the police showed up a few hours later, and he had to lead them out into the woods and back to the tent. The tent had been searched through, although nothing was taken. The zippers weren't used to enter the tent either. The walls were cut open by an animal. They found some blood nearby, along with some tracks that looked like the cross between a canine and a human. It was snowing by the time the police were out there, but they did manage to find the dead body of my dad's friend before the trail was covered up. It was partially devoured, and after a short investigation by the RCMP, they deemed it to be an animal attack despite the humanoid figure seen and finger examining the tent. Nothing else came from the case after that besides my family moving away from Jasper and never returning for any reason. We basically forbid ourselves from going anywhere near Jasper unless we were passing through to BC for whatever reason. The second time I encountered this creature was when I was 10 years old. My class had this field trip where we all would go to this one patch of woods that had small cabins, a small rec center, and other things like that. It was supposed to be a trip where you show up, spend the day doing whatever, and spend the night in a cabin with whatever group you made, and leave around noon the next day. I don't remember the exact area we were in. It was somewhere northeast of Edmonton, which would be pretty far away from Jasper. We went up there, and things were normal the first day. We wouldn't have been there for the second day if that creature didn't show up. When it was really dark out, we had a game of manhunt. Basically, two or three seekers were picked to look for the hiders who would hide anywhere around the forest as long as they didn't stray too far away. If the seeker found a hider, the hider would become a seeker and help them. At the end of the game, there was a prize to be won if you were deemed the best seeker or the best hider. I was supposed to hide, so me and my friend at the time ended up heading down this trail which led to a more lush part of the forest nearby. We figured it would be the best area to hide, given all the bushes and trees. It wasn't out of bounds, but still deep enough in the trees, so if any of the seekers came looking for us, they would have to come pretty deep into the brush to get us. Some seekers eventually did come by, but they only found my friend who was hiding close to me but not with me, and he didn't snitch on me, so they all left, leaving me alone. Some time passed as I remained hunched in the small circle of trees that almost perfectly covered me. The only way I could be seen would be if someone looked thoroughly through the trees in front of me, or if someone came from behind me where I was more exposed. There wasn't much covering me there, so if anyone came by, I would have to hope that they didn't walk behind my cover. At my hiding spot, I had the advantage of being able to see anyone coming up the trail here if I just pulled the branches in front of me aside. I also could see the moon through the branches if I looked to my right, the white dot in the sky preventing that area from being a solid black void like everything else around me. I remember sitting there for so long I actually started to shiver from the nightly chill, and the boredom slowly started to get to me. I think I had my iPod 5 at the time.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
When you walk into the vitamins and body care section of Fresh Thyme Market, you'll not only see aisles of feel-good products like Truvani protein powder, ancient nutrition collagen, and hundreds of vitamins and supplements, you may also encounter a recent graduate. You see, some of our team members take a course so they can know the answers to your wellness questions. So come in today for Healthy Living Essentials and say hi to our newly certified associate. But please, no gifts. Fresh Thyme Market, rooted in well-being.
And since I figured no one would be coming back here, I took it out with my earbuds and started to play some games on it, occasionally doing a quick 360-degree scan of my area in case any seekers were about. I remember 30 or so minutes had passed at that point, which meant any minute now some teacher would be ringing a bell to mark the end of the game, the winning hiders being given a reward. I kept my eyes on my iPod, continuing to do my occasional scans of my area for any seekers. During one of my scans, I resumed playing games as usual, but I had this off feeling now. I didn't see anything, but I felt like something was wrong. I remember hearing somewhere that the feeling of being watched comes from you seeing something out of place, but not exactly registering what it is. I'm pretty sure that is what I was feeling, so I turned around and looked around more thoroughly, examining what little I could be given it was all pitch black. There was nothing behind me, but the feeling persisted. Some panic began to slowly surge through me despite the fact I had not seen anything yet. I considered getting up to leave, but someone would be ringing a bell soon, and I didn't want to miss out on the reward. Why would I leave if there's really nothing there? After this feeling kept picking at me, I eventually felt courageous enough to shine a light around me. My iPod had a flashlight on it, albeit one that wasn't very powerful. I raised it and turned it on, scanning the area behind me since I assumed someone would be watching me from where I was exposed. I could see a few meters behind me and only saw pine trees, small plants, and other typical things you'd expect. I felt safer knowing there wasn't anything behind me, so I turned off the light. I resumed my game, the feeling still persisting, but a sense of security now instilled. Nothing was behind me. As I played games and waited, I thought about that. Nothing was behind me. I only searched the areas behind me, not the areas to my sides or in front of me. This new realization worried me, so I pushed the branches out of the way to see in front of me, and there was nothing but a barely visible trail back to the cabin, which was to be expected. I glanced over my sides, the area to my left harboring nothing but blackness past the trees. I checked to my right. Also nothing but a black void past the trees. I was about to get back to my game, but I realized that something was wrong. There was nothing to my right. Where was the previous visible moon behind the branches there? I remembered looking over, realizing the moon was indeed gone, which could only happen if something were to be blocking it. I froze, realizing someone had been standing behind the bushes to my right for who knows how long. My breathing picked up as I stared in that direction. It became obvious I noticed whatever was there. Still, whoever it was didn't move. They didn't say anything. They didn't even attack me. The sound of a distant bell ringing snapped me back to reality, and I sprung up from my sitting position and ran through the pine branches in front of me, getting whipped and pricked by the needles. I reached the clearing in front of me and ran to the trail as fast as I could. When I saw a teacher ahead of me coming up the trail, I ran to her out of breath. I tried to explain what had happened, her not understanding me because of how frantic I was. When I calmed down, I said someone was in the trees watching me, and they weren't a seeker or hider or anyone else. She went from chill to serious and asked me if I was sure. After confirming that I was indeed stalked by someone who wasn't a fellow classmate, she led me back to the cabin where my group was, including my friend. She told us to lock the doors before she left and talk to someone on her radio. Me, my friends, and three other kids were left in that cabin, which had a small window on both doors and a large window on the walls, all of which didn't have curtains. We were missing one of our members, who had left to refill their water bottle at the rec center before I showed up. My group asked what had happened, and I told them someone who wasn't a seeker was watching me. They seemed skeptical, but my friend believed me since he knew me better than the rest of them, and he knew no one else came up that trail to where I was. Around a half an hour passed where nothing happened. No teachers came back. Our other group member did not come back, and it was just us five. One of us wanted to leave to use the washroom at one point, and I pleaded with him not to leave. I think he realized I was serious about no one leaving since he stayed. The cabin felt safe. We had the doors locked, and there was other people here, and the teachers knew about the thing in the woods. More time passed when nothing happened, no teachers or nothing. The kids still needed to leave, but I figured things had been settled, so I didn't try to stop him. He dug around his stuff for his water bottle so he could use it to refill when he was out. Before he could leave, there was a loud knock on the wall of our cabin. Thankfully, the wall without a window. We all looked at each other before there was the sound of dragging along the side of it. I turned off the light and we all hid under the beds. It led from the middle of the wall to the corner, then over to the door. There was a loud tap on the glass, followed by another, and then another. The doorbell was tried momentarily, the knocking stopping it, before the tapping on the glass continued. When it finally stopped, there was a minute of silence before the tapping resumed on the large window on the wall of the cabin. I was facing it, but couldn't see anything. The tapping stopped, and I assumed they would start tapping on the window to the other door. I waited in anticipation for it, before a loud crash came from the window that was just touched. A sporadic ringing came from the object thrown through the window before it ricocheted off the wall and onto the ground near me, the object letting out one last ring. I felt like I was going to die. It would go inside through the window, then it would kill us. I closed my eyes, thinking about my eventual death. It never came, though. My eyes remained closed as even more time passed, as if whatever threw the bell through the window was just taking their time. I'm not sure how long it was, but eventually, we heard footsteps near the cabin before there was a knock on the door. A light shined through the window as a man shouted that they were the police. We were relieved and got up to open the door. It was indeed an officer, and he started to ask us if we were okay. As my group explained what had happened, I looked back at the object thrown through the window since there was light. It turned out to be a bell the teacher used to end the game, this bell being bloody. After he talked to us, he led us back to the rec center where more police, teachers, and students were. The rest of the night was spent there in the lobby as the police searched the area. Parents were notified and they began to arrive to get us. Before they did, the police asked students if they saw anything, and when they got to me, I explained everything I had experienced from being watched while hiding in our cabin window being broken. When talking to my group members, they said that after the window was broken, the large silhouette of the head of something stuck through the opening of the window and briefly looked around. My mom arrived the next morning, taking me away from that hellish forest. One of the last things I remembered when leaving that place was two officers talking, one of them mentioning a body being found. I learned later from one of my parents that one of the male teachers was found dead and partially devoured. They found the bell he had to get the hiders to have been the same one tossed through my window that night. When my dad heard the details about the body being devoured and me telling of something examining the walls and window of the cabin, he immediately recalled our hunting trip back when I was 5. That was when he explained to me what he saw that night for the first time. My latest experience happened before I went to college. We moved to a rural town near Athabasca that probably had a population of 30 people. There was plenty of forests around us, and being an 18-year-old who had basically forgotten my previous encounters by that point, I felt like I could take on anything that was in the woods besides grizzly bears or moose for some obvious reasons. It was summer vacation, and since I had nothing else to do, I would take my bow and head out to hunt some small game like rabbits. By August, I had gone from leaving to hunt for a few hours to leaving with a tent and a bag of supplies to camp out in the deep.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The woods for a night or two. It was nice, but my last hunt of the summer before college started pretty much ended my interaction with the forest for me for the next while. My final hunting camping trip was pretty normal for the first bit of it, which was to be expected. I walked into the forest for about 30 or 40 minutes, which led me to a very flat clearing that was perfect to sleep in a small tent. I've made this trip to the same spot multiple times at that point, and with the aid of my compass along with some pink ribbons I left tied the trees, it kept me from getting lost on the way there and back. It was very scenic and peaceful, devoid of any sight or sound of people, just pure nature. I set up my camp, did some hunting where I found nothing besides some large bear prints and some dried mud, had this box of cheap dried hash browns for supper, and then chilled out at my camp for the rest of the day while drinking some coolers I had brought and blasting loud music to keep any bears away. By the time the night enveloped the forest, I was ready to get some sleep. Sometime later, I woke up. I wasn't sure why. I just happened to. Feeling tired, I tried to go back to sleep until I heard the sound of plastic and cans rustling near my camp. I froze for a moment, not believing what I heard. When the sound rustled again, I sat up and grabbed my hunting knife. My groggy mind took a moment to think, and I realized that something was digging into my trash bag. I stored any food-related trash in a plastic bag before tying it and hanging it from a tree away from camp in case bears came by, and something was definitely digging in it at that moment. I hung it pretty high up, so it was either some scavenger animal that could climb or a bear. For my sake, I hoped it was the first option. I had just a bow and a knife, and neither would do much to help against a bear, especially if it was a grizzly. After a few minutes of rustling, there was silence. I still waited, keeping as quiet as I could to not draw the animal's attention to me. As I waited, I thought about what I would do. Some of my ideas were to go back to sleep. Some were grabbing my stuff and leaving, and I even had the dumb thought of scaring the animal off if it was still there. I eventually figured that if it was some small animal, I'd stay. If I got any confirmation about it being a bear, I'd pack up my stuff and leave the first chance I had. I would check my phone occasionally to see how much time had passed. When about 15 minutes passed, I assumed the animal had left and I checked the time, seeing that it was around 2 a.m. Tired, I tried to settle back into my bag. A roar sounded off in the distance, ruining any chance of me going back to sleep. I sat up, not believing what I heard. I'm not sure where it came from, but it sounded like a bear's roar. I'm pretty sure bears only roar when trying to find a mate or when they are defending territory. And since it wasn't bear mating season, that meant it was likely a territorial dispute. With the confirmation that a bear probably rolled up to my camp, I packed up my bag and left my tent, zipping it behind me as I turned on my headlamp. I took out my compass and figured out the general direction of the first ribbon to follow back home. Regardless of the 40 minutes hike ahead of me, I hurried towards the first ribbon. My hand rested on the knife attached to my belt, just for the feeling of security, since it's not like I'd be able to defend myself against a bear with a simple knife. Thankfully, it didn't take long for me to find my first pink ribbon. It was pretty close to camp after all. I think I set up a couple dozen of them, so I should come across every single one every couple of minutes. During the walk, I didn't try to be stealthy. My headlamp lit up a fair amount of the area around me and loudly charged through the shrubs and plant matter. When I came across the second pink ribbon, I felt more confident about my trip back. Things were on the right track so far. My confidence faded somewhat when I had about 5 minutes without seeing any ribbon. They were spaced out a few minutes apart, so I should have found the third one by now. It was dark though, and I could barely recognize the area, and I was kind of panicked, so my state of mind wasn't completely there. I tried to remember what the tree I had tied it to looked like, or any kind of landmark near the ribbon I could recognize, but nothing came to mind. I couldn't be too far, I kept telling myself, so I kept looking around, relying solely on my compass for guidance. 5 more minutes passed, which turned into 10 minutes of me searching for the third ribbon. Hopelessness started to set in as I searched around for the third ribbon or any recognizable landmark with nothing more than a headlamp on and a compass in my hand. I started to blame myself for everything that was going on as I searched for the ribbon. I could have looked for a closer clearing to my house to camp at. I could have stayed back at camp for the night instead of heading home. I could have left for home after finding the large bear print before night fell. I could have just walked in one direction using the compass and would have taken even longer but a surefire trip back home. I could have done any number of things to have avoided this. I just walked around hopelessly looking for the ribbon, insulting myself in my mind as I did. It all became very distracting for me, and I slowly stopped paying attention to my surroundings. All focus was just on either my compass, the ground since I believed the ribbon fell off somehow, or other ways I could judge myself. This led to me walking into a large mass that was slightly obscured by a fallen tree, 15 or so meters away if I remember correctly, its dead leaves covering most of it. I stopped walking and looked up, realizing it was a grizzly bear, the front half of it being obscured by the fallen tree. I'm dead. That was the first thing I thought. I couldn't outrun one, and if I were to play dead, it would just beat the crap out of me and probably seriously wound me. And if that were to happen, I would definitely never get home after that. Unsure about what to do, I took out my knife and stared at the grizzly, which still hadn't reared its head from behind the leaves. I stood there frozen as I waited, unsure about what to do. The bear did not turn around, so its front half was still covered. Despite my fear restraining me from properly functioning, I thought it was odd how it didn't at least move to get a look at me. More confusion built up in me as I realized how loud I was and how I had my headlamp on this whole time. The bear would have known I was approaching long before I even came across it, and it would have reacted as such. As I slowly regained my senses, I noticed a couple more things I was too fearful to notice before. First, the bear wasn't standing. It was lying down on its stomach. Second, there was blood. Some of it was along the ground, some was rubbed against the trees, some was on the bear. I don't know how I felt seeing that. It seemed like it was dead, which meant I was safe from it. However, I didn't know for sure, and if it was alive, I didn't know about what that would mean for me. Maybe I should walk away or be quiet and stand still or turn off my light or check to see if the bear was actually dead. I settled for checking on the bear and forced my legs to move me closer as quietly as I could. I kept my distance from the bear because all I wanted to do was confirm it was dead. Once I could see around the fallen tree, I could confirm it was indeed dead. Its bottom jaw was ripped off, and it looked like something had tore its neck open. Its front leg was mangled and lifted up, exposing its chest, which had been torn open, its bloody contents looking as if it were slightly chewed up. Not a single animal here in Alberta could have done this. A cougar wouldn't enter a grizzly bear's territory and end up killing it for the sole purpose of eating it. And when grizzlies fight with other grizzlies, they typically don't end up in death and devouring it, if I remembered correctly. I remember staring at it in morbid awe at this point, relieved that the grizzly wouldn't hurt me, but worried about what had killed the grizzly. The thoughts of my previous experiences in the past came to mind, and I tried to ignore them and tell myself that makes no sense. I was in Athabasca, which I think is somewhere around 400 kilometers from Jasper, and maybe half that from where I was during my field trip. It couldn't have found me here. It couldn't have. That would be impossible. Why would it even follow me?
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Find your new home in Marysville at Cook's Point or Kenmore Place. Two amazing Ardent communities now offering free rent for 2 months. Choose from spacious apartments with luxury touches like walk-in closets, modern kitchens, and private patios or balconies. Plus, you'll love the community perks like a 24-hour fitness center, resort-style swimming pool, and beautifully landscaped grounds. Move in today and live rent-free for 2 months. To schedule a tour or get more info on rent specials, call or visit ardentcommunities.com.
Picking me, of all people, all the way across the province. Still, it all felt very similar. Everything from it being night, to it being in the forest, to even the partially devoured corpse. There was one thing missing, though, as I stood there examining the dead grizzly. I realized too late, though, after thinking about all the similarities between the situation and the previous ones. The main difference I came to realize is that I haven't confirmed I was being watched yet. The thought immediately made me want to do a 360 scan of my surroundings. Without even trying, I simply turned my head around and felt numb. I saw the creature standing about 10 meters from me. It wasn't even hiding, just standing right behind me this whole time watching me. I wanted to drop to my knees and just die there. I didn't want to feel the fear I felt in that frickin' moment. I would have rather just died right then and there than to not feel this anymore. This was the first time I had ever seen the creature in full. It was around 10 or 12 feet tall. It easily towered over me. It had a humanoid shape, its body, legs, and arms being very similar to that of one. Its hands were large, clawed, and bloody. Dark, tattered fur similar to an unkempt moose covered his body. It had a tail, a pretty long one and a bony one at that. Its head was recognizable to me, of that being very similar to a moose skull due to how elongated it was. It had no antlers, not even stumps on its head, so maybe it was a female creature. Blood was around its mouth, where instead of typical herbivore teeth a moose would have, it instead had sharpened, predatory ones. There looked to be a symbol of some sort drawn onto the forehead of its skull, and I think charcoal, just something dark. The last thing I noticed, the most out of place for it, was the missing pink ribbon tied around the base of the moose-like ear protruding from the back of its skull, like a taunting decoration. Its other ear just had this string tied to it with animal bones or something hanging off of it. My first thought was that I was seeing a Wendigo. Not that knowing what it was would help me out at this moment. We stared at each other, not that I wanted to. I wanted to run, but I couldn't. I just kept staring into its eyes, or lack thereof, given it just had two empty sockets, black voids in place of them. I tightened the grip on my knife, causing its head to tilt slightly and gaze up towards me. I'm not sure how much time passed as we had our standoff, as if it couldn't kill me with ease. The more time passed, the more control I gained over my body. The moment I could move my legs, I took a step back, causing the creature to tilt its head more, as if curious about what I had planned. I took another step, then another. After backing up a few more meters, the creature took a single step forward, instantly making our distance between each other the same as before. When it did that, I raised my knife as if I would do anything to ward it off. It tilted its head again. We kept backing up like this, me moving a few meters back with multiple steps before it closed the distance with a single step. I was so lost in this that I bumped into the dead bear, causing me to turn around and look at it. The moment my eyes were off of the creature, I heard two quick loud footsteps and turned back to see it only a few meters away from me, its jaws slightly unhinged. I gave up on being careful at this point. I had nothing to do besides the primal control of hopelessness fleeing. I turned and ran while trying to drop my backpack and bow that I had over my shoulders. I successfully dropped my bow on the ground, shedding a little weight during the run. I unsuccessfully tried to take my backpack off one-handed as I had my knife in the other hand. Running through and cutting myself on multiple tree branches didn't help. Still, the creature had not managed or chosen to catch up with me yet. After running through a pine-treed bunch of needles, I ended up reaching a steep ravine. It was around 8 feet high, and I couldn't see it after running through the trees. I fell and covered my head as I rolled down it, my back providing little protection during my tumble. When I finally came to a stop at the end of it, I felt pain all over me, one very noticeable burning pain on my cheek. During the fall, I think my face bashed into my knife. I was out of breath, my body hurt, and I dropped my knife and didn't know where it was, and my headlamp turned off during the fall and fell off of my head. With the inability to see or defend myself or even being able to run in pain and out of breath, I just stayed there and hoped for the best, whatever that could have possibly been. Maybe if I just stayed still, it wouldn't find me. Maybe it would be quick when killing me. I just laid there with my eyes closed, resting my head on my arms. I'm not sure how much time passed like that. There was no sound of the creature being anywhere near me, although that didn't mean anything. It had been close and quiet to me before. Eventually, I got to my knees. I didn't know where my headlamp was, and I wasn't too keen on feeling around for it. I took out my phone and turned on its flashlight. I scanned around, finding the headlamp not too far away from me. I grabbed it, put it on, and prepared to turn that one on and look around. There was no way the creature wasn't standing somewhere near me, watching like it usually did. Turning the headlamp on, I did a quick search around, spotting the creature crouched at the top of the hill I fell down. It was looking down at me, likely watching me during the entire time I laid there. Its head was tilted as per usual, it curiously examining me. I wanted to say something to it. Ask it what it wanted, or even just to get it over with. But I just couldn't choke up any words. I rubbed my cheek where the burning sensation was, and sure enough, I had a cut there. The creature lowered itself down the hill with ease, and reached out its hand shortly after I checked my own cut. I closed my eyes, waiting for the obvious. It didn't come, though. Instead, I felt its hand rub against my face where the cut was. It then grabbed my sides and lifted me up. Unsure about what it was going to do, I just kept my eyes closed as it evaluated me. My heart was pounding. The feeling was indescribable. I had no clue how to use words to explain the feeling I felt at that very moment. I felt something heavy and hard rest atop my head. Confused, I opened my eyes for a moment, realizing that it held me into the air. It was resting its bony head on top of mine. As it held me into the air like this, I considered raising my legs and kicking it to let go of me, but it's not like I had anywhere to run off to if I had. It continued to hold me as I expected something more brutal to happen, but it never did. It stopped resting its head on mine and gently lowered me to the ground. It stared at me for a few moments. Then, with surprising ease, scaled the steep hill, heading back to where we had just come from, presumably to finish eating the bear. As for me, I took a moment to lean against a tree in shock. I couldn't comprehend what happened. I was still kind of roughed up from my tumble, and I didn't know where I was. After a moment of rest, I found the things I had dropped, scaled the hill to get to my bow, and took out my compass. I settled on just walking southeast, which was the general direction to my town. The walk wasn't fun. I was hurt, and I kept looking over my shoulder, expecting to see it following me. Around an hour of walking later, I reached a gravel road which I had followed for another 10 or 15 minutes back to my town, then eventually to my house. It was around 4 in the morning at this point, and everyone was asleep, so I just got some water and went to my room to reflect on what had happened before I went to sleep. I woke up at around 2 p.m., which meant my parents were gone at work. Being alone, I searched the house for the gun's safety keys, which I eventually found hidden in some random decorative candle holder in my parents' bedroom. I grabbed for one of the shotguns and left to go retrieve my tent and whatever else I'd left in the woods. It was horrible heading back into those woods where I came across that creature less than 10 hours beforehand, but I couldn't leave the tent and blankets and other stuff out there to rot. I never encountered the creature again, thankfully, but when I reached my camp, I didn't like what was there. Some dried blood was dragged alongside the tent, so I could assume who examined my tent.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Are we exposed? This is what every security team is wondering. But with vulnerabilities scattered across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos, the truth is out of reach, and attackers know it. There's a better way. Unify to defy risk with Tenable AI-powered exposure management. Tenable brings together all your security data and exposures in one unified view, giving you the attacker's map and revealing the critical paths and weaknesses they can exploit. Now your teams can prioritize intelligently, move decisively, and collaborate without friction. Tenable turns scattered work into a single proactive force. Instead of chasing noise, your team knows where to focus, gaining clarity, control, and speed to reduce cyber risk with confidence. Learn more at Tenable.com. Tenable, your exposure ends here.
And for a bit. It was unzipped, which meant it learned how to use zippers since the first time I had encountered it. Inside of my tent was my blanket and sleeping bag, which was ruffled up as if it was looking around in there. The last thing I found was the most messed up. Nearby, left in the charcoal and ashes of my fire, was a dead rabbit. Its head was bitten off, and I could only assume it was some kind of gift or offering or something. After that, I hadn't encountered anything creature-related since. By September, I moved away for college to a town, Vermilion, which is surrounded by acres upon acres of empty fields, so no way that thing is gonna come all the way out here unnoticed. Before I moved, I brought up what I encountered with my dad when he got home from work because I had to. He is the only person I know who has encountered the same creature before. He was disturbed, and the last time I talked to him, he planned to move to somewhere less rural and away from the forests. Looking back on all of my experiences, and after some research into cryptids and forest monsters and stuff, I have no frickin' clue what that was. At first, I thought it was a Wendigo because of the skull head, humanoid body, and how it was eating people. Then after comparing the way they act with my experiences with it, I didn't think it was. It had a female moose skull head instead of a male deer skull head, which could be excused. Maybe the female moose skull head means it's a female variant or something. I don't know, I'm not a Wendigo expert. It never mimicked people or even spoke any words, which seems to be a thing that Wendigos can do. It did eat people, but it also killed and ate a grizzly bear and killed and ate a rabbit's head. It had the symbol on its skull head, and it had decorative stuff on its ears. Lastly, I don't think it's a Wendigo because it let me live. It did chase me, watch me, and somehow follow me across the province. But it wasn't to kill me or to hurt me. If anything, it possibly likes me, given the fact that it found me at my weakest. It just held me and rested its head on mine, even leaving me the same animal I had been hunting in my campsite for me. It just doesn't seem like a Wendigo. I considered Skinwalker after that, but it wasn't canine related, and I've never seen a moose around those areas, surprisingly. I felt like if it was a Skinwalker, it would have just been a moose and watched me during the day and I wouldn't notice. No one would. Not only that, the behavior and location are too different to be one. I tried looking into other cryptids and folklore stuff, but none of it is similar enough to my experience of being followed across the province or to the way the creature looked. I also tried to remember and draw that symbol that was on its head, but I can't remember any of the details of it beside there being a large black dot within a circle. Overall, I'm just at a loss. None of this makes any sense to me, which is why I'm posting what had happened here. I'm hoping that someone can provide some insight about what that thing was, or what it wanted with me. As for me, I'm considering a new career choice. The college here in Vermilion is for jobs that typically involve nature, and after that thing found me twice across the province, I'm pretty sure I don't want a job that takes place in the woods. I'm pretty confident that that thing, whatever it is, would find me again if I did. It doesn't seem to want to kill me. I don't know what it wants with me. Even if I was safe from it, which seems to be the case so far, others wouldn't be because it probably would eat them. I hope someone on here can provide me with some answers, or anything.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humor. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.